This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The U.S. presidential election is now less than 2 weeks away. Markets gave back a little bit today, but investors are trying to get some clarity before America makes the big decision about the direction of its future. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking markets, so let's bring on J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade, and he's joining us today from London. Always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Always happy to be here with you, Andy. Thank you, sir.
We're under 2 weeks out from a presidential election. Markets gave back a little bit today. So let's just start there. What's the trade and your takeaway?
We'll start with the election itself. So one of the interesting things, and we've done a lot of internal studies on this, is that what we find is the presidential election year itself doesn't really trade at a much higher volatility than normal. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now, is that we're at kind of historical levels, according to the VIX, of volatility. Where volatility really increases is the year after the election. And the reason being because now the new president has to announce their policies. And as we both know, there can sometimes be a lot of pushback in the House and Senate, et cetera. And sometimes the president's proposed policies that are a little more controversial. So really, those who are playing for the volatility may want to wait until the election itself or just after the election.
Stocks have had a pretty good year, and that kind of jives with going into elections. It seems to be a little bit of window dressing going into it, and you make a great point. A lot of times you get the volatility after. You know, we're under 2 weeks away. How do you play this market to the election? And like you said, expect volatility after.
Well, I think overall, you stay with good companies. And, you know, those companies that make money and do well and sit on a lot of cash tend to do that no matter who's in the White House and who's in Congress. And so I think that that's really the number one priority. Am I holding on to good companies? And I think all of us have been guilty of holding on to the what-if company, so to speak. And that's fine. You know, we all like to speculate a little bit in our portfolios. If it's a little bit, then it's fine. Where I think people get caught up is sometimes they buy 20 or 30% of their portfolio in those types of companies, and that's usually a mistake. At the end of the day, you want to hold on to companies that perform. You really have to ask yourself, does it matter who's in the White House? Does it matter who's in Congress? Will this company still find a way to make money? Do they have a product that people want no matter what happens? And that, I think, is the best way to measure what you're holding on to right now.
Well, and let's talk about some of those companies. I mean, what kind of companies are you talking about? I mean, are they the ultra-safe J&Js and McCormick's and, Yeah, go ahead.
The Mag 7, they all sit on a ton of cash, and cash is always king. A lot of the technology companies in general. To your point, there are, at the end of the day, no matter who's in the White House, We're still going to need diapers. People are still going to drink Coca-Cola, etc. So again, there are going to be certain companies that no matter what happens, you want to, you know, people are going to need their product. Now, where, again, many people will say, well, I think this candidate's going to win or that candidate's going to win. So, you know, if President Trump wins, it's going to be better for this. If Vice President Harris wins, it's going to be better for that. And again, that's fine to take some speculative nature that way. Don't get carried away. You know, the probabilities are telling us it's a 50-50 election at this point. So you want to not be too far one way or the other, but really sit in the middle, to your point. Johnson & Johnson, we're all going to need Band-Aids. People are going to use baby powder, whatever it may be.
It's a good place to also, some of those companies that just kind of hold the cash and get a dividend, and you're not seeing nearly the volatility in some areas. Now, one area I wanted to talk about, because I've been kind of playing around in it, and just wanted to see your thoughts on the uranium trade. And I'm specifically talking about the Global X Uranium ETF, URA. Gave a little bit back today. But that holds those companies in the realm of nuclear energy, whether it's uranium extractors or providing the fuel cells for, you know, nuclear reactors. That's been kind of a hot space. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the uranium trade. That's something that I've really seen over the last month just do fairly well.
Such an interesting trade. You know, as I look at URA itself, this is a stock that, you know, in the early September was trading down at about $24. Today it closed at about 31, but to your point, the stock was down about 5% today. So going back to what we're really saying is, as we, those who, you know, are so excited about AI, et cetera, and with good reason, but that takes a lot of energy in order for AI to continue to perform. What we've seen so much over the last few weeks is these companies that are deeper in AI that are out acquiring some of the, you know, the stocks in the nuclear space because they realize that the electrical grid may not be able to support this going forward because of the demand on electricity. So the nuclear space in general has absolutely caught fire over the last 3 or 4 weeks, as many people have started to come to the realization that we need these energy sources, and these companies who are AI are not going to take a chance on the electrical grid. At the end of the day, control your own destiny as much as you can. So with that, it's a really interesting place to be in the portfolio right now, and something that I think that many people should say, what does this mean going forward? And those who are fans of AI, this is really sort of a derivative way to play that without playing the individual equities.
Yeah, and you know, the one other thing that to take that even further, what I did is URA has a basket of stocks in this sector. A lot of them are in Canada and Australia, and they're all over the world. What I found was the best quality U.S., there was like 3 or 4 quality U.S. companies that were in URA, and I bought them individually and actually did really well. In fact, I'm going to it right now. NuScale Power was in there, SMR, Centrus Energy, LEU is the ticker on that. So it's an exciting trade, and you know, it's come some way now, as we just talked about. But I think long term, there's a lot more to go. Is there an area like that you're watching that you're finding interesting at this time, and tell us about it?
Well, AI itself is really interesting. Now, the one thing I will say is we're in the middle of, well, early, I guess, in the earnings season. This week is obviously a week that puts us over the hump, if you will, because we have 20% of the S&P 500 reporting this week. But one of the interesting things to me about AI is that for the first time, I think you're going to see the companies that are so deeply involved with it, the Microsofts of the world, the Amazons of the world, Metas of the world, are going to start getting more and more questions about it. And why do I say that? Because let's face it, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this so far, Andy, and there really hasn't been a great ROI, in my opinion, from any of these companies yet.
Agreed, agreed. And that, it's a lot of speculation, a lot of looking to the future. Go ahead.
And that's not to say we won't get there. I actually do believe we will get there. And I think that, again, what I like about what you've done with the nuclear plays is one of the things that Wall Street loves, and I think one of the things that every business owner loves is, can I control every single aspect of my delivery of a product? By buying these nuclear companies, what the AI providers are doing is controlling every single aspect of this. However,
almost like how Henry Ford did back in the day. He went out and bought rubber companies. I mean, they were able to produce every aspect of the automobile at that point. And it seems like, especially when you're in a budding industry, just to control so many factors, it seems like that's exactly what they're doing here.
I will say the analysts in Henry Ford's time were probably more patient than the ones that are now. That said, I do think that you may see a little bit of pressure on the AI stocks right now for that reason. But one of the things to really define, and it becomes an important lesson for your listeners, is what's your time frame? If you're playing these for just a short period of time, it may be a little more rocky. But if you're saying, you know what, longer term, this makes sense to me, I think that that's where you have to be if you're going to be in the AI trade, in the nuclear-based trade, et cetera. You may not get the immediate returns you want, but longer term, it seems hard to believe that this isn't somewhere that the entire, everything had. From, the internet revolution, so many people are calling this the next revolution.
So we've talked the AI and the power that's going to have to be behind, AI and the call centers and all this data and everything. As we're kind of wrapping up our discussion here, give me one other idea, big idea that investors should take a look at. You know, we like these big ideas because over the long term, if you have a nice time frame, they really can deliver. Give me one other idea that the Gaines listener should consider.
I think it's still financials. It may say, hold on, that seems very counterintuitive because interest rates are going down. But if you look at, at least it's certainly, we've seen cut probabilities. If you look at the FedWatch tool right now, is that they will be, two more rate cuts this year. That said, what's really interesting to me is because of the anticipation of rate cuts, you've started to see the deal market really heat up. And if you look at the Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America earnings that have just come out, the big area that's picked up for them has been trading and has been their deal making side. So yes, on its surface, rate cuts coming are bad for the financials. But there's always another side to the equation. The other side to the equation is that trading tends to heat up and deal making tends to heat up, and they make a lot of money in those spaces.
Give me a couple names that you just find attractive right now.
Well, as I said, I think in the financials, Goldman, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, those tend to be names that do really well in the trading space.
All right, and as we wrap up today's Gaines podcast, what is the final takeaway here, JJ?
The final takeaway is don't be so nervous about the election. At the end of the day, the president, whoever gets elected, is really, it's headlines, et cetera, they set a agenda for the country. But what really starts to matter is the fact that they rely on Congress. And so is it a clean sweep for the Democratic side or the Republican side? That's one thing to look at. A non-clean sweep, to tell you the truth, is something that Wall Street really likes, is when there's a balanced House and Senate, because then there's no huge policies that pass one way or the other. A little bit of a clog of rulemaking is not a bad thing as far as Wall Street is concerned. And so when that happens, actually the market tends to react the best.
All right, big thanks to J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade here in Chicago. He joined us from London today. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.